1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, a very familiar exhortation, a very familiar portion of Scripture. We have the Apostle Peter, under the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, telling us, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. If you were to enroll in a class on public speaking or writing, you will find out in the course of time that one of the ways to be most effective in revealing truth is by knowing your audience. Any public speaking or writing teacher will tell you that a communicator will be far more successful in developing a message if they know the background, viewpoints, struggles, hopes, and fears of those receiving the message. In 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter is writing to believers who are suffering. And these believers are suffering because of their faith in God. And their faith in God is steadfast, so much so that they are being persecuted for what they believe. Peter, knowing the condition of his readers, is seeking to instruct them in the ways of God by comforting them and encouraging their hearts by reminding them to cast all their care upon God, for God cares for them. We must remember that these words written by the Apostle Peter to persecuted Christians in the first century are not meant to be read merely in a historical context. These words are for us. All Scripture is given by God and is profitable for us. These words are written to encourage us this morning, to strengthen us in the midst of all of our worries. Overlooking the congregation this morning, there are many of us who are suffering heavy trials. Some over the last few months have lost close relatives. Others have had severe health complications. There are families burdened with how things are going to work financially in the days to come. Parents who are weighed down by the waywardness of a child. I think it would be safe to say that all of us, in one way or another, have times in which we are haunted by the failures of the past, discouraged by the pressures of the present, and overwhelmed in fear of the future. And knowing this, with God's help this morning, I want to take this one statement found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, and apply it as a balm to your soul. I want to do so by laying before you four persuasive statements that we can pull from this one verse. Number one, why you should cast all your care upon God. Number two, what prevents one from casting their care upon God. Number three, how we can cast our care upon God. And number four, when should we cast our care upon God? Let me start with the first. Why you should cast all of your care upon God. Now, before I answer this, it is important that I define two words that are found in this verse, and those two words are cast and care. And I start with the word care. Casting all your care upon Him, Peter says. Well, what does this word care mean? Well, the word care refers to anxiety. It is those circumstances which causes one to be worried or troubled in heart. When you lay up late at night, when you toss on your bed and you cannot sleep because you are burdened and weighed down with certain circumstances, that is care. That is what Peter is referring to as anxiety or worry. Sometimes it is the fear of the unknown, the fear of how things are going to work out. Again, the context of 1 Peter, Peter is writing to believers who are under the fire of persecution. They are wondering about the welfare of their families. They are curious if they will have money and bread to feed their families. And they are even fearful of their own lives. And the persecution may come so strong. This is who Peter's writing to. He says, cast your care, cast your anxiety, cast your worry upon God, for He careth for you. Now the word cast means to throw. In ancient days here in the Bible, it means the one who would take a cloth and throw it over an animal to ride upon it. They would cast it over the back of a donkey, of a horse, so that they then could ride it. Or as a fisherman would cast a heavy net upon the face of the water, so Peter, a fisherman, says, cast your care, cast it all. Don't keep part of the net in the boat. No, cast it forward, cast it all upon the Lord. And this is a complete and unreserved casting. He is not talking about a casting of a part or a casting of most, but a casting of all. Peter is exhorting his readers to throw their whole life upon the Lord. He not only tells us to cast our cares upon the Lord, but he tells us a reason why we should cast our cares upon the Lord. Notice it. He says, casting all your cares upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. We ought to cast our cares upon the Lord because of God's affection towards us. He cares for us. Now, Peter has already verified God's love for the believers before he exhorts them to cast their care upon the Lord. Now, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to take you through this book and show you how Peter has led to this exhortation in 1 Peter chapter number 5. Throughout the whole epistle, the whole letter, God is reminding his readers of God's love. Now notice it there, 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 through 5. I won't read all of the verses, but if you're taking notes, and just to get you familiar with the book once again, Peter starts by reminding them of their salvation. He starts by reminding them of Christ, how they were chosen of God. And being chosen of God, they were blessed by God. And they were begotten, they were born again unto a lively hope. Verse number 5, and this lively hope that they were begotten unto, they are kept, not by their own performance, not by their own power, but they are kept by the power of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Peter tells them that they have been redeemed, not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. They are made righteous in the sight of God because of Christ. 1 Peter 1, 23, they are born again by the word of God. They have been given life and new life because of Jesus Christ and His love. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, Peter calls these Christians a royal priesthood, a chosen generation and holy nation. They've been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Verse 25, they were as sheep going astray, but now they are returned unto the shepherd, the chief shepherd, and the bishop of their souls. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Peter says that Christ has suffered for sins once, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, and being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And Jesus died for them. Jesus commended His love for them, that Jesus died for them. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, He tells them to rejoice and to rejoice in their sufferings because they are partakers of Christ's suffering. And being a partaker of Christ's suffering, being reproached in the name of Christ, it is a great privilege, for it means, verse 14, that the Spirit of God rests upon them. So Peter tells them in chapter 5, knowing all these things, understanding, remembering what Christ has done for you, cast your care upon the Lord. If there are any in the congregation wondering, does God care for me? Has He proven His love? Peter says, yes, remember. Look at the cross. Look at the empty tomb. Jesus Christ has done this for you. Therefore, cast your care upon Him. Why should we cast all of our care, upon God. We cast all of our care upon God because God cares for us. And these words are written for you. God cares for you. Put your hand over your heart. Feel your heart beating. God is giving you life because He cares for you. Go home and look throughout your house. Look at all the blessings that God has given you. A cupboard full of food. A closet full of clothes. Why is this? God cares for you. You're here, healthy. Healthy enough to come to church at least. And you're here because God cares for you. And so we can cast our cares upon Him. Number one, we should cast our care upon Him because He cares for us. But then we want to see, well, what prevents one from casting their care upon God? Are there some who refuse not to cast their cares upon God? The answer is yes. And let me give you two reasons why others don't cast their cares upon God. Number one, because of ignorance. People do not cast their cares upon God because they are unaware of the reality that God cares for them. And Peter, spending several chapters reminding them of God's care before exhorting them, he does this because he does not want them to be naive or forgetful of all that God has done for them in Christ. There are people who are ignorant of God. They do not know Him. They do not know that He is faithful. They do not know of His attributes, that He is merciful, that He is gracious, that He is long-suffering and patient. There are people who can quote 1 John, God is love. But they have never personally experienced this love. They remain ignorant that God loves them individually and personally. They overlook all the blessings God has imparted them in life. Their family, the provision of food, their job, their health. And so others don't cast their cares upon God because of their ignorance. But I think a greater reason that people don't cast their cares upon God is because of pride. See it there in the context. Notice this phrase. This phrase is not one single sentence. It's connected with a separate phrase before. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now, when Peter wrote this, there were not verse divisions. When we read the Bible, we need to remember that because we will miss out on truth if we dissect verse by verse without its proper context. Peter says, cast your care upon Him. But before he says that, he says, humble yourselves. Interesting. And people don't cast their care upon God because of pride, because of self-sufficiency. This is the spirit that says within the heart, I don't need God. I can carry myself through my anxieties. I carried it myself through heartache and depression before, and I can go through it again all by myself. Pride is at the root of most of our anxiety. To the proud person, to cast everything upon another, to be cared for is humiliating because it gives evidence of weakness, doesn't it? To cast your care upon God means, God, I am weak. I cannot bear this. I give it to You. Lord, You must take care of it. I submit this to You. What are You doing? You're emptying your hands. But as man, we like to keep things within our own reach. We would not admit it, but here's what we do. We take the place of God. God promises to be our rock, our refuge, our help in a time of need. But we often reply in life by saying, well, I can take care of this myself. I don't need God. I'll continue to toss and turn. I'll continue to be miserable day in and day out. Peter says, no, humble yourself. Give it to the Lord. cast it before Him. Am I speaking of you this morning? Are you not casting your care upon God? Number one, maybe you're ignorant to God. You don't know who He is. You know a lot about religion. You may know some truths about the Bible, but you don't know God. Let me tell you this morning, our God is the God of gods. He is the Lord of lords. And He has a heart of compassion. And our God cares for you. You can cast it upon Him and know that He will deal kindly with you. God is not a harsh ogre in the sky seeking to cast down judgment. No, God is a merciful God. God is a loving God. Know that today and cast your care upon Him. Or maybe it's your pride that you're not casting your care. Maybe you're holding on to something that happened years ago. Cast it before Him. Humble yourself. Third, how do we cast our care on God? One of the most unprofitable and unfortunate realities within our Christian conversations, our Christian circles, is this. Listen, it's knowing verses and it's knowing spiritual phrases while remaining ignorant to their implications. Okay? You've heard this. Cast your care on the Lord. Cast your care on the Lord. Well, let me ask you, what does that mean? How is that worked out in the life? What does it look like to cast our care upon God? Don't we do that? Repent and believe the gospel. What does it mean to repent? How do I repent? What does it mean to believe? How can one believe? Walk with God. Honor God. Okay, well, what does that look like? Give me some practical ways of how to walk with God. How can I honor God? I want to know. So we need to spell it out. How can we cast our care upon God? Let me give you three suggestions, three primary ways we cast our care upon God. Three words. Number one, pray. Pray. How do we cast our care upon God? Pray. What is prayer? Prayer is communicating to God. Being honest and transparent. Telling Him everything. Listen, He already knows everything. Tell Him all your fears. Tell Him all your anxieties. Tell Him all your worries. Tell Him all your frustrations. Anxiety will tempt us not to pray when prayer is the very thing that we need. You remember Hannah? Hannah's womb was closed in 1 Samuel 1. Hannah desired a son. We find Hannah praying, pouring out her soul before God. It's a trite saying, and sometimes it's said so much so that we forget it and its implication, but she turned her care into prayer. And that's what we need to do with our anxiety. We need to pray. Rather than worrying all night, we should pray. Rather than going onto Facebook and telling everybody how bad we feel, we need to go to God and pray. Prayer is a balm to the soul. Think of David running from King Saul, living in the caves and the mountains and the wilderness. What does he do? He prays and he's transparent with God. God, the proud have had me in derision. Prideful men are seeking to destroy my life. The wicked pursue me. Lord, I am weak. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. He's preaching to his own soul and preaching to his own soul. He's praying to God. And so we see in the life of David the very need for prayer in these times of care and anxiety. Do you pray? How often do you pray? Prayer is casting your care upon God. To cease from prayer is to hold it. Paul tells the church in Philippi, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, be careful for nothing. That word careful meaning anxious. Don't be anxious for anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication, let with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And if you do this, if you pray, if you submit yourself to the Lord, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we can see, I wonder if others don't know the peace of God which passes all understanding because they don't pray. Their hearts and minds are troubled because they're not casting their care upon God in prayer. Number two, another way we can cast our care upon God is to submit. Submit to God's will. Submit to God's perfect providence. Again, Peter knows who he's speaking with. He knows the difficulties. He knows the trials that they are going through. But he is urging them to submit themselves to it. God is in control. God has allowed this. For some reason, this will help them to be more conformed to the image of Christ. And so casting care, he's speaking of submission. To resist, to submit, is to keep our cares. We must submit and say, Lord, I'm afraid. Lord, I'm tired. Lord, I'm confused. Lord, I'm frustrated, but I'm going to follow you. I'm going to remain faithful to your commands. I'm going to acknowledge every joy and trial falleth from above. Christ in the garden does these two things. He knows that he is going to be separated from the Father for a time. Christ knows he is going to bear the sin of the world. He's not anxious. He is not filled with a sinful anxiety because of what he is going to do. No, the Bible tells him, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He was anxious about bearing the sin, taking our hell, if you will. But in that garden, we find him submitting and saying to the Father, Father, not my will, but thine be done. What is he doing? He's casting his care upon God. Because he knows God the Father cares for him. We need to be Christ-like and submit ourselves to God's providence, God's circumstances. What are the circumstances in your life? And we know that all things work together for good. Do we know that? Joseph, betrayed by his brothers, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, ends up in jail. If there's one who could have been a bitter man, a man mad at God, mad at circumstances, surely it would have been Joseph. But yet we read over and over in Genesis, God was with him, God was with him, God was with him. Why? Because he submitted himself to God. And we find out later that submission was used for good. Men meant it for evil, but God meant it for good to save much people alive. He submitted. He was prayerful. And he was what we see in our third point, how to cast our care. He was a man of faith. Trust. How do we cast our care? We trust. You see this in the New Testament, in the Gospels, with all those who come to Christ with their anxieties. Think of the parents who came to Christ. Christ, heal my son. Lord, heal my daughter. Lord, heal my servant. They were anxious. There was a worry. There was a fear. But they cast it before the Lord. Only you can heal, Lord. You must do it. And the lady in Mark, she's gone to all the physicians. She spent all that she had. And yet she comes to Christ saying, Lord, you must heal. She's trusting. She has a heart of faith looking to Christ. You see, worry chokes the life of faith. Faith revives the life of worry. George Mueller said this, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. How do we combat the arrows of anxiety that are cast our way? By taking up the shield of faith. We trust that God is faithful. We trust in God's promises that they are true. We trust that God is working all things out for our good and for His glory. We trust like Job. We say, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. We trust in Hebrews and how it says, He will not leave us nor forsake us. We put our faith and trust completely in Him. These are three ways we cast our care upon God. But then we ask this question. When should we cast our care upon God? Tomorrow? Next week? No, I think you know the answer. The answer is now. We cast our care upon the Lord now, today. To carry them a day longer will prevent you from running the Christian race with all your might. To carry them will allow the cancer of bitterness to grow. To fail to cast them upon the Lord will diminish your joy and peace in the Lord. You must cast them now. As I'm speaking, you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not going to worry anymore. Lord, I'm submitting this to your care. Lord, take it. I know you care for me. And Peter is quoting a text from Psalm, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Peter's exhortation here is not an original thought to the New Testament, is it? And Peter, the disciple of Christ, is only repeating and summarizing what he has heard from the lips of his teacher. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6, 25. And we see Jesus Christ teaching the same things. Peter was a good student. He took notes in his class. And as a good student, he is using them again to encourage believers. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, and we have here the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon that was ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever preached. Matthew 6, 25, the words of Christ. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought, don't be anxious for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. Look at the birds. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Why are you anxious? Why are you worried about your clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Peter received his message from Christ. Christ here is dealing with anxiety by calling us to an awareness of God, God's love, God's care. He says, look at the creatures, look at the birds. Another passage, look at the foxes of the field. Look at the flowers. Who's taking care of them? God is. Are you not better than a daisy? Are you not better than a pigeon, a dove, a raven? Are you not better than these things? Why are you worrying? Do they worry? Do you think the birds are gathered together in the dirt downstairs worrying? Where's the food going to come from tomorrow? They're having a little meeting, a little deacon's meeting. How is this going to work? How are we going to provide? Oh, no. No, they're singing. They're chirping. There's no thought of tomorrow. So God says, be like that. Cast your care upon the Lord because the Father's in control. And God is a good Father. God is a loving Father. God is not like the gods worshipped by the pagans. You know, those gods that the pagans worship. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. They have mouths, but they speak not. No, God is not one who is uninterested in human affairs. God is interested in human affairs. He's interested in the minute details of your life. He has every hair of your head numbered, if you have hair on your head. So why are you worried, O ye of little faith? We also want to ask ourselves as we consider this passage, who is Peter to tell us to cast our cares upon God? Is he one who has personally practiced what he is preaching to us? Has he experienced the gracious care of God? Our response is yes. Among all the disciples to write of God's care, surely the Apostle Peter was most qualified. Within a few short years of ministry, we find Peter experiencing the divine care of God through many circumstances. Let me bring to your remembrance. Christ came to Peter, to his house, and healed his mother-in-law, who was sick of a fever. Sinking after walking on the water to go to Jesus, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him immediately, rebuking Christ for mentioning that he was going to be taken and killed by the elders, chief priests, and scribes. Christ, a week later, takes him up into a mountain to witness Christ's transfiguration, cutting off the right ear of a servant of the high priest. Christ miraculously heals what Peter damaged. Denying Christ three times, God anoints the lips of Peter on the day of Pentecost as he is the instrument to see 3,000 souls saved. Facing what he thought was his final night on earth, in jail, chained between two soldiers, Acts chapter 12, God miraculously delivers Peter, giving him more time to live and minister in the name of the Lord. If anyone could speak to you about God's kindness, surely it was Peter. Going back to Acts 12, do you know what we find Peter doing in jail as he's chained between the soldiers? Nope, that's Acts chapter 16, Paul. He's sleeping. Suppose you were taken and your execution was tomorrow. Wonder how many of us would sleep like babies tonight. Peter did. How could Peter do that? Peter, you're about to die. Aren't you worried? Aren't you scared? No. I've cast my care upon God, for He cares for me. He could sleep knowing death was soon approaching because he gave all of his anxieties to the Lord. And Peter is not only teaching us this lesson with his lips, he teaches this lesson with his life. Let me ask you this morning, what message are you teaching to those around you? What message, parents, are you teaching to your children? They're watching. Others may not read their Bibles, but they're reading your life. What message are you preaching to your distant family, your friends, your coworkers? Is it a message of faith or a message of fear? Do others see that we are casting our cares upon the Lord, or that we are suppressing our cares deep within our hearts? As we conclude, it is important to recognize that Peter's words are not only encouraging words and encouraging exhortation for Christians, but it is a gospel appeal for those who do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Do you find yourself anxious about dying? Are you worried? Are you frightened? Are there moments where you are overcome by fear? What's going to happen? Am I going to be accepted before God or rejected? Am I going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell? If that's you, if you're anxious, Peter is calling you to repent, to believe on Christ. Cast your care upon the Lord. Cast your burden of sin upon the Lord. You can cast your unworthy self at the foot of the cross because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. He has demonstrated that He cares for you by dying on a cross and providing you a way to be free from the judgment you deserve. At the heart of Christianity is a cross, which is the ultimate expression of God's love. And because of God's love, we can take our anxieties to Him. Is your need salvation this morning? Cast your care upon the Lord. Cast your burden of sin upon the Lord. And you can do it because he cares for you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, whosoever casteth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. As one author said, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. Come to this fountain, so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. One author says, we all need to come to the place where we realize that God is all sufficient for all problems that may come into our lives. No heartache, difficulty, or problem is too difficult for the plan of God. Have you come to the Lord's house this morning weighed down with a family concern, with a health concern? Is there some anxiety that you are carrying? Is it a care for someone else? Cares of the future? What is it that is breaking your heart? What grief are you bearing? The Lord is ready to bear every burden that you give to him. The spiritual physician, Peter, has a cure for your cares. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you.